Easy Live, it's Sunday, on a Monday, on Flux FM. Es ist 15 Minuten nach 4 und wir haben Easy Live gehört am Montagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt die Formation aus England im Urban Spree und bereits jetzt sind 3 von 5 Herrschaften bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über das geschickte Ignorieren von Genregrenzen, das den Sound der Band so zeitgenössisch klingen lässt. Wir finden raus, wie die ersten USA-Gigs funktioniert haben. Sie waren beim South by Southwest und beim Coachella. Wir sprechen über die politischen Verpflichtungen von Kunstschaffenden im Jahre 2019, über Vor- und Nachteile einer Band, die ausschließlich aus Multi-Instrumentalisten besteht und vieles mehr. Zunächst sage ich aber Hello, Simon Murray.
Hello. Hey.
Welcome, Easy Live.
Hey, thanks for having us, man. Thank you so much.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, good, man.
Pretty cool. Good, yeah.
It's 2/5 of the band right here. Yeah. The others are loading in.
Doing
the work.
Yes, we're in the van sort of drawing straws to who got to come to the interview and have fun with you and who has to set up all the shit at the stage.
So. Yes. We have to talk about the shit that you have to set up for tonight's show because I've read that you're trying to avoid MacBooks on stage and trying to avoid computers on stage.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a topic for our little talk. But first of all, I want to know how the US shows have been because you motherfuckers have been to the US. You've played Coachella and South by Southwest.
Yeah.
I mean, you've put out a few songs, a handful of songs, kind of. I mean, a bit more. Mm. But it's an early stage to be invited to those huge festivals. How is it? How did you feel over there?
Privilege to be there.
Like, I mean, South by was... It's just such a eclectic mix of incredible acts and you can just walk down the street. It's all based in like one area of Austin, really. And you can just walk down the street and hop into bars and just see some incredible music from like all over the world.
Yeah.
So it was mad to be a part of that. And then obviously Coachella's just Coachella, isn't it? So like we were just, you know.
Yeah, I've seen some footage of Coachella, of the Coachella shows, and a few other artists as well. I mean, it was a great lineup this year.
Yeah. Everyone,
it always is.
Yeah. Everyone just brings their best game to Coachella.
We saw some incredible shit at Coachella.
Is there a show that you won't forget that you've seen over there in the US?
There was quite a few, to be fair. Like there was a lot of amazing moments at Coachella. Like a lot of. Like Sam said, everyone's just bringing the heat out there. So, but Anderson .Paak.
Oh wow! Yeah, he's a great guy, right?
Man, I don't know how he had the energy that he had for so long, and he's just got tunes and he's got bangers. You know what I mean? Like banger after banger.
Yeah.
And the setting as well was like palm trees and fucking like mountains and like Anderson .Paak's just there.
Oh, he's such a great guy.
We saw Kanye West Sunday Service as well.
Oh no! Sunday services, man. All dressed in white.
And that was they built him a mountain. They literally built him.
It was in like a car park, man. Yeah. It was like right, everyone come to this car park.
Yeah.
And we had to get up at like 6 in the morning. It's like right, mission out to this car park. They built him this hill, and then they'd like put speakers in the hill. It sounded incredible. Like from a Sonic's point of view, was breathtaking. Was incredible. Amazing. He had like must have been what like a 50 or 60 piece gospel choir. It was mental.
And that's so great because I haven't missed one or two of those Sunday services on the internet because I was like I have to watch it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It really was a spectacle. That was probably one of the best things I've ever seen.
That sounds really great.
It felt like a spiritual experience for sure.
Really?
Yeah, and he played from 9 until 12, so 3 hours straight of like
no breaks, no
nothing,
talking.
And it was all like orchestrated. Just deep jazz gospel music, like took a lot of brain power, and they were just doing it.
He had a lot of like feature artists up there with him as
well.
Who were just it was amazing to watch. It was so good to just watch and see who was doing what because
and that would have been enough for me. Like Anderson .Paak and one of those Sunday services with Kanye.
Yeah,
that must have been great. And Anderson .Paak with his right hand on the hi hat. He's one of the craziest performers in the world.
That's really great.
So congratulations on your first US gig or the first gigs that you've played in the US. Congratulations on the success of your first songs. We already love you guys here for your music. And my love comes from the fact that you do not seem to worry about genre boundaries too much. I've told you beforehand. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you're kind of like traveling through genres and you have a special way to treat beats and rhythms. And then today I found out that this might have to do with the fact that you're all able to play the drums Everybody knows how to make a beat. Do you discuss the beat?
Well, the thing is, like, everybody except Sam.
Oh, so sorry, I can make a beat, but and I can hold down like the most basic of beats, but I'm the only one who's like not skilled.
Okay.
I think it helps though, for real, because like 4 out of 5 of us all. Our first instrument is the drums, so that's like our best instrument for all of us except Sam. So when it comes to whoever's playing the drums, which is Ollie every night, it's like, right, you gotta get this right, and you gotta get the beat on point, and he does it every time, of course. But when we're making the beats, our producer Rob, he's also like a sick beat maker, like does it all on like MPCs and all that kind of shit. And we're watching him very closely.
No, because you're all multi-instrumentalists. You all know how to play various instruments. But I really felt that there's got to be more than one drummer in the band because there's so much knowledge in the beats, I guess. Maybe it's Rob only and it's not you guys, but I really felt that.
Rob is an impeccable beat maker in his own right, but he's definitely been watched like a hawk by all of us.
But he can't play drums, right?
No, he can't play the drums. But he has a drum kit in a studio, so we like might lay down a beat
and he reproduces it with the, but lots of the time
it's just like we'll start with something that isn't the beat, and the beat is kind of obvious. We've got the chords, we've got the melody, and the beat will just sort of fit into that. But the way we write lyrics and the rhythms within the vocals often dictate where the kick drums will fall.
Phrasing,
and stuff like that.
Cool, I get that. And I really have felt that phenomena that you've just described. That when you listen to a song and the beat hasn't kicked in yet, you already nod your head, right? You already know how the beat's gonna go. So that's something.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and with working with so many multi instrumentalists in one band, is it an advantage always, or does it sometimes lead to fights?
No,
like, I can play that guitar solo. Get the fuck out of here!
Like, it's a beautiful thing because it means we're not restricted on like what we want to include in the song.
Yeah.
So if you know, maybe the one area we're restricted right now is strings. Like I need to learn the violin or something just to lay down some of that. But honestly, it's a brilliant thing just being able to think, why not put another synth part in there and someone else can play it?
It's a privilege as well, because when we're making the live set, which can be, you know, an hour or longer, it can get a bit boring, I think, personally, watching the same shit over and over again, even however good the songs are. But luckily, we can switch it up. And not for the sake of it either. It's always sort of to complement the music and stuff. But it does mean that when you're watching us, you know, we're just hopping around it's like a big jam, really, because we're all just like, well, I'm gonna play this for a minute and you do that. And
so it seems as if you all have been classically trained, because that all the people can play one or more, two or more instruments. It's like a sign for classical training. Have you been?
We have.
You have. You play. Sam, you
I know.
You're
me and
a player. You're a bass player, and you know how to play the saxophone, right?
I started on clarinet.
I see.
Yeah,
You got piano as well.
Clarinet, piano, sax, bass,
and you're
guitar.
You can play the keyboard and the piano and the trumpet.
I play the trumpet first and the drums. And the
drums.
Keyboard and the piano and the guitar.
You taught those yourself.
Yeah, they were self-taught.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's. I mean, it's interesting. And it provides a lot of opportunities for you guys.
Yeah.
I think. A lot of possibilities in the sound. It's really great.
For sure.
So another thing that must be inspiring for the genre boundaries hopping is the fact that you're from a special era in Leicester, the Narborough Road. I've read that.
You've done your research, man. I love this.
There's like 50% of the local indie scene in Leicester lives there or rehearses there or something.
It's one of the most ethnically diverse streets in the whole of the UK.
Okay,
so you can walk down Narborough Road and you can get like an amazing Indian food, great Polish food. Yeah. Like, we got like lots of Romanian people, lots of European people, lots of like African people
still,
as well.
They're still there, the European people.
Yeah,
haven't been kicked out yet.
Shut up, man! Right, let's not get into that.
Sorry,
because that's going to get messy, man. Yeah, like, come on, that's a mistake.
Everyone knows it. I'm sorry,
but yeah, the Narbs, as we call it, Narborough Road. That's the place to be, and we have a like that's where we rehearse and stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
Studios just off.
Yeah.
Because there's a similar area around here, right? Kreuzberg is like a diverse part of the city as well.
I mean, it's not Kreuzberg, man. Yeah.
The sounds that you're listening, you know, through the windows and through the cars that are passing through the city, or through those streets, it's always a different sound. It's not just Turkish beats or Turkish melodies. It's mixed up, and I think that must be inspiring.
Yeah, I think Leicester as a whole city is so diverse in terms of culturally and like with the music that comes out of Leicester as well. So like, yeah, it's very easy to pick up different bits and not be scared to experiment with genres and stuff.
See?
Yeah.
Another sign for the fact that diversity is a good thing.
Yeah.
100%,
good music.
Everybody knows that, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a few idiots in England that don't know that. But honestly, like, the people on the ground, like, we know that that's good, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're preaching to the converted right now because listeners of Flux FM, they know that as well. Now let's listen to Nightmares, another beautiful song. Auf Easy Live. Heute Abend spielen sie im Urban Spree und vorher werden wir noch ein bisschen quatschen und auch noch Tickets verlosen für das Konzert am Abend. Easy Live mit Nightmares auf Lux FM. Nightmares, ladies and gentlemen, Easy Live auf Flux FM. Heute Abend im Urban Spree. Jetzt noch bei mir im Studio. Nightmares was the first song that we played on Flux FM. A great song that deals with mental health issues as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it features a Burt Bacharach sample, right?
Yeah, that's right, man.
A great sample that you found there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it, and then now we're right in the middle of the topic that I've mentioned before, because I want to know how you implement those samples into the live show, because you refuse to work with MacBooks on stage. I love that.
Yeah.
So do you play that
no, so
topic?
We don't use MacBooks as such, because we always think it looks lame, like, and we're always trying to recreate as much of the sounds as we can, but because of that sample being so crucial to the actual sonics of the track, like, we take that sample, we got it on an MPC and we're just sampling it live. But
I think we attempted to recreate it and then stopped after 30 seconds of just no, definitely
when we
not.
First took that tune to the like practice studio, we were like, right, let's play it, and we were playing it on like brass and stuff, but it just doesn't have the same sort of vibe. Like, it's an old like vinyl crackly sample. We need that, you know
what this reminds me of, this conversation right now reminds me of the last gig of the Streets that happened here in Berlin, you know, Mike Skinner and the Streets.
Yeah, of course.
There's a few songs that he plays with the band now that used to be sample based, and the band versions, they sound like cheap cover versions, you know. It sounds like it sometimes sounds like a band on a remote island. You know, like, you remember that Street song? We can still play it. It sounds a bit like the you know?
Sometimes
it's a wise decision to go back to the sample, I think.
Yeah, we got to avoid that, you know? And it's like, what works best for the song is that sample to be loud and proud and be straight off the records. So.
I've just mentioned that this song talks about mental health issues as well, and I feel that this is a topic that comes up a bit more from a male perspective. I think that's an important thing, because we all know about male toxicity right now, you know. So how important do you think is it to bring up topics like that as a band in 2019, whereas, because I feel that in 2006 it was kind of like okay to write a song about your emotions and how you feel towards that one girl, and everybody was like, oh, this is an average white dude talking about his emotions to a girl, and I really appreciate that, thank you for the information. but I think nowadays it's like you got to come up with some more interesting topics to be relevant again.
Yeah,
I think it's just a sign of, I don't think we set out to particularly address the issue. It was just it happened because we were writing the song, and with the time being as it is, it has to be written about here and now, and it was unavoidable that we had to include it.
And I think people need to be brave enough to talk about these things, and with like the, you know, social media and stuff, and you hear so much horror stories in the news about people doing silly things because they're feeling depressed and what have you.
Yeah,
it's just important
not able to talk about it.
Yeah, and like, I think Nightmares does it in a nice way, because it's still like, it's still feel good, and it's like, well, no one gives a fuck, but like, let's just party anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
So I've just talked to Sam Fender like a few days ago. He was here, and he has one song out called Dead Boys, where he talks about a friend of his who was killed, or who killed himself.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And we talked about it in an interview that he did on the BBC, where one guy was driving a car to actually attempt suicide, listening to that interview, turned the car around, wrote Sam Fender an email, so the Sam Fender fucking saved a life with that song.
No way.
And we talked about it, and he's like, I have the feeling that this friend of mine who took his life, he saved another one because he made me write the song.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful story.
It's important, man. That is, you know, we have the power as musicians to influence people's decision making and stuff. And if we can bring important topics into their, you know, eyeline, then why the fuck not?
Yeah, and I think that's something that you guys have like implemented into your system is like not only to switch between genres, but you do know how to switch between like earnest topics and a fun way of talking about them, you know, because I want to dance to Nightmares.
Yeah.
But it can still trigger a few thoughts.
Maybe. Yeah, it's unavoidable. You've got to use your platform and speak about the things that matter.
Yeah. Really. And one of my favorite things to do as an artist is to talk about something really melancholy and quite disturbing over something which doesn't feel like it should be like Nightmares.
Yeah.
I always like it when people read the lyrics and they're like, fuck, this song's actually like hella deep.
And that's when it becomes art and leaves the scientific field, I guess, right? Yeah. Because when you're just talking about the facts that happen in that topic, it's science.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And this what you're doing is obviously art. Now, are you currently working on an LP or because is it just mixtapes and EPs coming out? Because I feel that this maybe it might be the more contemporary format.
Yeah, you know,
and
what?
It's a little bit more hip-hop-ish to put out mixtapes.
I think what we love doing is just collating all the music we're writing in a certain set time and just putting that out so the world can hear what we're thinking at that moment in time and get the general feeling.
And like, we're never chasing the next release. So like Spaceships mixtape, which just came out a month ago or whatever, that was literally just because we had a month off tour and we're in the studio, we wrote that and we're like, fuck it, let's put it out. It's not quite an album, but it feels right. And like the next thing we put out might be, I honestly don't know what it's going to be because we don't, just whatever we write, we're going to put out. And I think with Spotify being the platform that it is, that works best. So like whatever we write, we're just going to put it out. And at some point soon, we're going to sit down and write the album and put that out. But I don't know when it's going
to
be.
But it's a good way to keep yourself excited though.
Exactly, exactly. You, and like,
because if you sit on a tune, it tends to just go stale and you don't enjoy it anymore.
If we have a song on our hard drive for more than like a month, then it's never seen the light of day because I'm over it. I've like stopped, you know.
Smoke another
too much
thing
weed
that reminds
paranoid
me of those hip hop artists, you know, because if they have a beef with someone else, with another MC, they can't wait for 7 months to give him the answer to his diss track. Yeah. It's too late then.
Mate, we need a beef track.
I need someone to call me out. Right, some Berlin MC, call me out. Come on, bring it in. Let's bring the fire.
I've read that there were some comments under the Jules Holland live show thingy. They were like a diss track. But I mean, I don't want to.
Oh, I love reading the hate. The hate's the funniest bit because I like reading like praise is good, but it just makes you feel a little funny. But the hate is amazing because it picks out all these little things which you never really knew.
I won't
quote.
Let's not get into the hate because I'll curl up into a ball and start crying.
No. I think you guys know the haters gonna hate kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're gonna let them do what they're doing. Let them do what they're doing. I mean, they obviously don't have anything better to
do. They
gotta
get it out. Get it out of your system.
And it's like a guy comes up to you, is like, yeah, just a one hit wonder. Ask the guy about his one hit. He has never had one.
Yeah. No? Preach that.
So you guys are going to play at Urban Spree tonight, and I'm going to give away some last tickets for that show right now. Ooh. Heute Abend, also Easy Live im Urban Spree. Und wer da hingehen möchte, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Easy Live auf Flux FM und abends im Urban Spree. So guys, I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show. I hope you're going to come back soon to Berlin and Germany.
Definitely. We will.
Play more shows. And
definitely. This is the best city in the world, man.
Yes, it really is. Still is.
I mean, it's up there. It's definitely up there.
Hurry up with the next visit because it might not be the best city in the world anymore. There's too much stuff happening. Gentrification. This is like one problem of them all. And a right-wing movement is happening in Berlin too, like in the outer skirts and stuff.
Oh yeah,
not too good. No. But we're fighting it. We'll bring
the vibes, man, and all that will just float away.
The diversification, coming.
Yes, cool. So I'm having a positive outlook on the future right now. Yeah. Thank you for that. Easy Live on bei mir im Studio. Und zum Abschluss ihr Stückchen auf das noch. Thank you guys. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
She's a rich girl, Persian rug and trust fund. Barely standing, but she's never had so much fun.